Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Today's guests are Kelly Falk and Ryan Crotty. Both are logistics specialists heading up the domestic drayage and port services team for Logistics Plus from Erie, Pennsylvania. Kelly and Ryan, welcome to Business Spotlight.
Thanks for having us, Joe. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
Can each of you tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to Logistics Plus? Kelly, let's start with you.
Thanks, Joe. So before I started my career at LP, I actually came from the medical field for about 13 years. And I was working two jobs at the time where my husband knew someone else who worked at LP who kind of sought me out working downstairs at the restaurant at LP. And she saw how hardworking I was, needless to say. And then I saw her outside of work and she actually approached me and asked if I was looking for any kind of new career movement, et cetera, et cetera. So I met with her, kind of went over what the job per se entailed, and she asked me a couple of questions, didn't really give me an exact answer as to what I was going to be hired for or what they were hiring for. So I came in, I interviewed, kind of did some job shadowing here, and just stepped out of my comfortable zone and took that leap into the logistics world. And close to 6 years later, here I am today.
Kelly, I love that story. And the reason why I love that story so much is because, you know, I've had the good fortune through the years. We've been doing this about 5 years now, where we speak to not only Jim Berlin, but key employees throughout the organization. And always the get hired stories are so unique, and yours is no exception. It really does seem like LP looks for that certain kind of personality that they think will fit and work ethic in their organization. And it sounds like you're a perfect example of that.
I try to be. And the best part about it is just by doing my normal day to day and believing in what I believe in. Luckily, I was chosen to work here. So very proud of that every single day and grateful for that.
That's awesome. And Ryan, can we hear your story?
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up here in Erie. I had some previous background in business ethics and development through school at Gannon and Edinburgh. I never got a degree, but as far as getting into LP, I was working at a country fair gas station for about 6 years. And my old manager there, who is now one of our IT supervisors, actually referred me to this job. We had worked together pretty closely in the past. And at a certain point, LP had kind of a hiring boom. And he asked if I was interested, and it was kind of a no-brainer for a career change. And then about 5 years later, here I am.
Once again, another great story. So you're working hard, you're working at a convenience store, and all of a sudden you find yourself in an amazing career at a global company.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Very cool. I can't wait to hear more about it. Now, I'm sure many of our listeners have the same question, so I've got to begin with this. First off, what is drayage and what crucial role does it play in the LP process?
So drayage back in the old days is known as the transportation of goods on sideless carts that were pulled by dray horses. And unfortunately, we don't see that anymore. At least I haven't in my couple of years of doing drayage, which I just wanted to add that in because I thought it was pretty cool. And I would honestly try to promote that nowadays too, just because it's not something you see every day, if at all. But as of right now, drayage as we know it is the movement of containers overseas to transport goods. Drayage is a very cost-effective option, which allows for a large amount of goods to be received or shipped at a time. Without drayage, whether it's an import or export, many forms of international businesses would not be possible.
So please forgive my ignorance. I've got to ask a follow-up question there. So when you use the term drayage, a large amount of goods, larger than normal shipment, Kelly?
Normally, drayage involves the standard size containers are either a 20-foot or a 40-foot, and a lot of the packaging inside is not palletized but floor-loaded due to basically stuffing as much freight or goods in as you possibly can without going overweight, though you can, and then we can handle it from there to a certain max weight. So it's not just shipping, say, a standard pallet with, you know, 36 cartons on it from somewhere in the United States to another location in the United States, but you're shipping a whole container full of cartons and not exceeding typically the 44,000 pounds. So just putting it into perspective, you can kind of imagine just the surplus of freight and cartons that can be added into a 40-foot container at 44,000 pounds. So it's got to be pretty impressive as to how much you can really fit into one of those.
So in a nutshell, really, it could be, obviously everything is situational, but it could be more cost effective for your client or the end user to use this route.
Absolutely. Yep. And we have come across plenty of times where not all of one whole container is utilized. So I think that comes down to what's available at the time, how the customer needs to ship it, how long pieces are, how much they weigh, et cetera, et cetera. But if a company is looking to ship, you know, whatever a hot commodity is, say makeup, for instance, you can package that in small packaging to load up, you know, say 2,500 cartons, and that might not even take up a fourth of the container, depending on how big those cartons are, which leaves room for them to then load other freight.
Well, that is very interesting. Here's a two-part question for both of you. Ryan, and you're nearly 5 years with LP, and Kelly, close to 6 years with LP. You both have moved around a bit from what I understand within departments within the organization. So I'd love for you both to be able to comment on that. And then secondly, how is managing drayage different than some of your other past experiences at LP?
Yeah, so every process is different, you know, whether it be in less than truckload, full truckload drayage, doesn't matter what department you're in, there's always something different about it, right? In our case, Excel Docs is a big change. Every container has its own story from beginning to end. And even if a little piece is missing, it can be an expensive mistake to fix. I think you have a lot more responsibility because of all the different factors that need to be considered, especially, you know, free time in and out of the ports, as well as delivering the container when the receiver wants it all without accruing additional costs.
And Kelly, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that another big part is having a good relationship with your customer, as well as the carrier, is, in my opinion, one of the most important lessons that I've learned. Because as we all know, things can happen in this industry, sometimes not for the better. And when they do, we figure out a resolution and as fast as we can between all parties. So having that communication there and having that good relationship is key, just to keep everyone happy, because everyone is aware that those things can happen. And as long as we can get everyone on the same page as fast without any issues, then we're all happy in the end. It's just something that we have learned to do, and we're pretty good at doing that.
Ryan and Kelly, during the pandemic, congested ports were constantly being talked about on the news. Did a lack of carriers or drayage providers play a part in that bottleneck?
So we never had a lack of carriers. We have a good kind of pool to choose from in pretty much any location that we've dealt with thus far. But as for a lack of availability that those carriers could provide versus, you know, just kind of being at a normal pace with freight was a huge struggle. And it basically stemmed from all of the containers that were berthed that were waiting to come in. And as it was shown very frequently, even on the news, let alone email distros that were sent out from those companies, showed you exactly how many containers were on the water, exactly how many were coming in, and all of the backlog. It was a mess for a really long time, it felt like. And then, like I said, it just affected our carriers in the sense of they would have all this freight and all these containers to pool still, and all those vessel delays kept happening, which would push all of their schedules back. So they weren't able to keep up with incoming freight if things were readily available at times just basically due to the whole chassis issues, which then stemmed from all of this delay because all of these containers that they had to return back to port that they weren't able to receive or only receive so many a day just basically bogged everything down in a huge trickling effect. It's not necessarily even that the carriers couldn't handle it, but due to equipment shortage at that point, it just caused a lot of low capacity issues pretty much everywhere. And I feel like it started a lot on the West Coast and then it moved to the East Coast. And as the West Coast started dwindling down, I transitioned under my old new department and all of the freight that was coming in that I was dealing with over there was on the East Coast. And then I started seeing the same issues again. So again, it was just a long, I want to say about a year, year and a half of going through the motions, dealing with pretty much one side of the United States to the other.
Kelly, is it alleviated now a little bit?
Yeah, it's much better. Just with the pandemic, you know, everyone, when it starts from the whole toilet paper, paper towel issue, where everyone goes crazy over it and everyone's out of stock, all of those companies are now just pumping product out. Everyone's adjusted. And now there's just a surplus of freight that's sitting in warehouses all over. As for the congestion issues, we don't even see those at all when it comes to our pricing and everything. All the carriers are basically trying to be way more competitive now just with how much slower our economy is with everything.
Makes sense. Ryan, we've heard many times about how the United States has a severe shortage of truck drivers. Does the same issue apply to drayage? And is it difficult to find drayage capacity for your customers?
In recent months, not really. We haven't really had any issues finding carriers with availability. Kind of like what Kelly touched on previously, the ports are more or less caught up. There's not really a lot of backlog left. So there's not really any excessive delays like there were in 2020 and a little bit of 2021. Kind of like she said before, part of the main issue right now is that there's such a surplus of product out there now. It's more so just an issue of customers kind of price shopping on their rates.
Understood. And can you comment on, and we've talked a little bit about this so far, but what characteristics make for a good drayage carrier?
Well, it's kind of similar to what makes us who we are. You know, excellent customer service plays a huge part in any industry, really. But good communication is always a strong point. You know, if our customer is asking for updates, we need to be able to ask our carriers and get a timely response just so, you know, everyone's on the same page. And then kind of like I just said, the competitive pricing and availability, which we strive to make sure that we work with carriers that have strong pricing and availability for all of their lanes.
And Kelly, knowing that drayage involves picking up and delivering containers at the ports, how do the LP Drayage and LP International teams work together?
So we typically utilize each other by sharing carriers to offer the best service, also to obtain more knowledge and learn a new way to say yes to the customers, because Ryan and I now working with just both of us, we always go over everything with each other just to make sure we're not missing anything. And if there is, in fact, a better way to do something, then we kind of lean on each other to give each other that advice or that recommendation. There's a handful of other people that we do reach out to as well. And our LPI team does a great job just because a lot of them are a lot more experienced than we are at this, and they have a lot more knowledge and background. And a lot of times they do have a different way of handling something that is also the most cost-effective option with the least amount of transit time. So again, we are always reaching out to them just on regular things as like a brush up, or it could be something new that falls into our lap that we're not necessarily 100% sure on how to handle.
So it sounds like that synergistic energy that is alive and well at LP, it's really essential for you and the international team.
Absolutely.
You know, as technology continues to play a larger role in supply chains, how do you anticipate the drayage industry evolving in the coming years, Ryan?
Yeah, human versus technology. It's an ongoing battle. We're seeing more and more terminals and steamship lines become kind of dependent on an automated service rather than an actual human being. Losing that personal touch can really affect business. If I or you were shipping to a container, I would want to be able to speak to someone directly and make sure that everything's on track, not send an email and hope someone gets back to me within, 24 or 48 hours. So it's a struggle for certain, but, kind of like we've touched on before, we really try to strive for customer service with like a personal touch.
Yeah, that's a common theme. Whenever we have these interviews with LP employees, whatever it takes to make sure the customer is pleased, going above and beyond. And I guess that really is the plus in Logistics Plus, isn't it?
Absolutely. Correct.
I know technology and the LP investment in making apps and so forth that just set your company apart in the industry to benefit the end user has been incredible in recent years. How much has client-based technology evolved since you've been at LP? And how can you better serve your clients by this new LP technology that you now offer?
So our wonderful development team came out with this tracking tool, amongst a lot of others. Basically, it shows live updates of the ports across the United States and world that allows you to see how congested it is. It gives you live updates and tracking updates on the containers and if their arrivals change. So that way we can be as up to date on providing that information to our customer. And we can get that information almost down to the hour. So if there's any delays or anything, again, we are always on it. We normally track our containers twice a day. That's pretty excessive with how slow they typically are on the water for. But just in case, again, there's something that happens that we're not aware of or that we don't see the first time we check, we always do a follow-up in the afternoon to make sure that we are on top of doing our jobs, basically, but also informing our customers and giving them the most up-to-date information. Because again, if that were me, I always think if the shoe was on the other foot, I would want to know everything at all times. To me, more is better when it comes to that. So as for the technology that we have, like I said, there's a bunch of tools on eShip that allow you to get exactly the information you need to show as much detail as possible.
It seems like you've both done very well for yourselves during your time with Logistics Plus. Can you describe what a typical day looks like for you in your present role?
Yeah, so we have a process down from day to day, start with addressing any important issues or book anything from the night before that we might have received from an international client. And like Kelly said, we track and trace containers twice a day, update our customers. We also send out quotes as well as negotiate with carriers on pricing and, whatever else might come our way. Kelly and I also do handle some full truckload and less than truckload, and it's a good way to be able to cost compare. We wear a few different hats, which makes our careers that much more valuable and interesting.
Kelly, anything to add to that?
Typically, yeah, we are doing the same thing, but in regards to the day-to-day, again, just kind of keeping, as we like to call it, our like emergency list. If you walk into an emergency room, you're addressing the most important down to the, okay, this person's not on fire, per se. That's just how we normally handle our day-to-day. And then whatever else comes across, the wonderful thing about this company is you never know what's going to come and fall into your lap. And to be able to tackle it and succeed in doing so and satisfying the customer, those are all the things that we aim to do or strive to do. So besides that, it's just whatever comes our way kind of thing.
Ryan, what intrigued you the most about a career with Logistics Plus in the supply chain space?
Well, like I said, I came from a convenience store, so this was an opportunity for me to see an entire new industry. It's fairly interesting to be able to speak with so many different people from so many different countries, as well as just learning all the ins and outs of the industry. It's also pretty interesting to see and understand where all of these products come from and go to, you know, just even household daily items that you might take for granted. You might not understand quite the journey that it had to make to get where it is.
Ryan, what do you like best about your career?
The people. This company treats you like a family, and it's really easy to be a part of. It's a lot of fun to be a part of. Everyone works together. It's seamless. It's a great place to work.
And Kelly, I've got to ask you the same. What do you love best about your career?
I love the fact that I was given such a great opportunity without even knowing it from the beginning, especially not having a college degree. It got very, very discouraging for a while in my life before I came to LP. And now looking back on the last 6 years, it's the amount of valuable lessons I learned with working inside the workplace and all of the opportunities that presented to myself. It's something that, again, I'll forever be grateful for. And it's not only learning lessons while you're at work, I've also learned so much more about myself as a person in taking on the different roles here at LP.
You know, Kelly and Ryan, we've spoken with a lot of LP employees over the past few years. It's no surprise the company continues to be recognized as a great workplace. In your experience, what makes LP so special? And Kelly, let's start with you.
This was a no-brainer when I was thinking about certain things and characteristics of working at LP. The number one thing is, as Ryan already mentioned, and not to repeat, but it's the only thing that sticks out in my mind, is the people. The people that work here are probably all of my favorites. And not that I don't get out much, but I really don't. And if it wasn't for working here and in the environment that I work in, it wouldn't be anything special, I guess. I've never worked with such a great group, and not just a couple of people, but so many people that are such amazing, wonderful, funny people. And it just makes, it really does make your job so much better. Waking up and looking forward to coming to work, regardless of how many fires you have to put out and how many things go wrong or how great of a day you have, there's never a dull moment and there's never a bad day. And with that being said, and working with such great people, those people, you know, they secretly become your family, and you care about your family. And the one thing that LP does is they care about their family. And I've never worked for a company that does that 102,000%.
Ryan, in your experience, I've got to ask you the same question. In your eyes, what makes LP so special?
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain tenacious quality to all the people that work here. It makes you feel confident to be part of such a large group of people that have this can-do attitude. It's a great confidence booster. And, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but it's true that the people do really make this place special. It's very interesting to be part of such a unique place, even just the building. We work in a train station that's over 100 years old, I think. So it's nice to be working in a part of history and being a part of it.
Ryan, I do understand now we get off of the hot seat and we move on to the conversational seat now. Now, I understand you're something of a Frisbee football professional. Can you elaborate on that for those of us who aren't entirely sure what Frisbee football is?
Yeah, well, I'd probably say I'm considered a mostly retired player at this point. But yeah, I used to be part of a few teams based out of Erie that played a game called Ultimate Frisbee. We would casually play here in Erie a few times a week. And as I understand it, they still do. I was also part of a club team that was somewhat semi-professional that we would compete in tournaments anywhere from here in Erie to up in Delaware or down in South Carolina. There's tournaments that take place all over the country. It's a pretty fast-paced game. It can be a lot of fun. I absolutely recommend anyone that's curious, look it up on YouTube. Or there's also an Erie Ultimate League Enterprises Facebook page where you can learn about local events.
And Kelly, when you're not managing drayage at LP, what are your outside interests?
So I do have a lot of interests, but to be completely honest with you, at this point in my life, I have two little boys that tell me what to do in their own language, and I never really figure it out, so I just get screamed at the majority of the time. My firstborn is a dog, and my husband, who I love to death, and I'll someday get to go on a date with again. But with all of that, including the job, I wouldn't trade any of that for the world.
That's great. That's great. I can't thank you both enough for your time today. Is there anything that we missed that you'd like to add regarding your team or Logistics Plus as a whole?
You know, again, just saying, I think that we have probably the best team around. And if there's anything that anyone needs help with, that we're only a phone call, email, text, anything away. And I know we'll get it done and get it done the right way.
And Ryan, anything you'd like to add that we didn't touch on?
Just going off of what Kelly said, we don't really say no to anything. So anything in the logistics world at all, we're happy to help.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as UPMC Hammett is in the Business Spotlight.